Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Great show lined up for you, and Beth has outdone herself this time. Beth Muthart works with me here in my office and lines up really interesting guests, and she's just... Well, she's just gone to the top this time, and it's Susan Packard on the line with me. She's co-founder of Scripps Network Interactive and former operating officer at HGTV, and she has a brand new book rolling out, New Rules of the Game, 10 Strategies for Women in the Workplace, and the website, SusanPackard.com, P-A-C-K-A-R-D, SusanPackard.com. We're excited. This is a big deal for us to have her on the program. She joined, long history of involvement in developing networks as she started actually back her cable career at HBO and then moved to NBC and was part of the startup team for CNBC. And then later in 1994, joined HGTV and became chief operating officer in 1995. And then under Susan's leadership, HGTV became one of the fastest growing cable networks in television history. Today, HGTV is available in more than 99 million U.S. homes and distributed in 175 countries and territories. That's a big deal. Susan, welcome.
Hello, David.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so that's all the time I have. That's good. Thanks. I mean, that's amazing. How'd you do it?
Well, I did it with a wonderful team of people around me. That's how I've done anything I've ever done successfully. You know, it's the most important part of being successful is the folks that you surround yourself with. And you know, knowing your own talents and limitations and surrounding yourself with others that, in respecting their talents and limitations and just working together. We had a complimentary team on the ground floor of HGTV. We had one gentleman who came from Shelter magazines, so, you know, the home-type magazines, and several from broadcast, and I came from cable programming, and, you know, that kind of diversity around the table is really helpful to build successful businesses.
Wow. Well, and so the book, you wrote the book to share, obviously, some of your own personal experiences and strategies and realities of women in the workplace, New Rules of the Game, 10 Strategies for Women in the Workplace. And so is that where it came from, as you wanted to share that and give other women the benefit of what you've seen personally and also, you know, research and talking with other executive women in leadership positions?
Well, I could agree with that, but that would be a lie.
Okay.
Because where it came from is I had left S&I 4 years ago, and I began to write a book about innovation. And okay. So I wanted to sort of do a roadmap of innovation. And a friend of mine, a woman who has written business books, when she found out about that, she said, you know, Susan, why don't you tell your story? It's a pretty interesting story. Mm. And I thought about it. I sat back and went, okay, now, how was it that, you know, I got to be in a leadership position? And that really was the germ of gamesmanship,
okay.
Which is sort of that central nugget in New Rules of the Game that I talk about in the rules. That's how it came to be.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, listen, honest is good. I like that.
Well, I'll try my best.
Yeah. So let's dive right in here. We've got everybody's attention, and let's go ahead and dive in. You talk about some of the big strategies. In fact, you list out 10 strategies for women in the workplace. But let's start with what's the single most important thing that women can do to thrive, strive, succeed in the workplace?
Okay. Well, if I had to, it's really hard to make that
just
judgment.
Just one. Like, it's a 30-minute show. Just
things.
One.
One is your favorite. But if I had to pick a favorite, it would be building fan clubs or building your likability, which is Chapter 5 in the book. When I work with women and I mentor women, I will ask them, you know, are you well regarded in the workplace? Do people, you know, like you? And I almost always get, oh yeah, I'm well regarded. I'm liked. I got that one. And I challenge them because likability for women is very tricky as you advance in companies because we have a lot of sort of pushing up against a lot of tradition and societal and cultural issues that keep us down, and, you know, they lead to biased in the workplace. So I always tell them, you know, there you have to be very conscious about building your fan club or your network in your company. And that's not politicking. That's building relationships through trust. And, you know, there are lots of good things that guys do in the workplace that we should look at and emulate. And that's one of them. I mean, men do a great job of networking in the workplace. And we're too busy, you know, being perfect and doing our jobs. And so likability is a very important concept in the book.
Okay. Well, that's rather straightforward. Because there's a lot to balance here. What about where, and again, some of this is, it's almost, I have to confess, it's kind of funny for me to ask because I don't really think of it this way. Should there be goals that women have if they're in companies where they could potentially get into leadership positions or strive to get to that corner office or even be CEO? I mean, should that, you know, there's a work-life balance here, and is that realistic goal that women should have?
Well, you could ask that same question of men.
Okay.
You know, do they have a goal of being CEO of a company or not? Do they want a C-suite job or not? But if, you know, I have all my experience with working with women and having managed women, is everybody will give you a little bit of a different answer.
Okay.
And they're all right.
Yes.
And, you know, it's really a very personal decision about whether you want to continue to work after you have children, whether you want to have children at all. You know, so those work-life issues, and it's not just children. You know, we're now in that generation of caring for parents.
And sure.
So there are a lot of caregiver roles that can get in the way of advancement.
Well, I hesitate to ask that question, Susan, because, it starts with almost like a presumption or bias at the start, but it seems to be that that's one of the questions that out there. And when we start talking about strategies in the workplace for women, that's a, you know, maybe a natural question, but you're spot on. It's just as easily the same question ask a man.
Let me tell you a story about my experience. When we were starting up HGTV, a woman that I wanted to bring into the organization, we, you know, worked through the contract, the financial issues, all of those things. We were kind of coming to the tail end. I hadn't made her the offer yet. And she said, you know, Susan, I have to tell you something before you make me an offer. And I had no idea what you... Anyway, she was pregnant. She said, I'm pregnant. And she said, and it gets better because I have the baby around the same time we go on the air. So I don't know what you want to do about that, but I had to tell you, and I appreciated her honesty. And I had a moment of, now, how does that set with me? So the best I could do was to put it back in her court. And I said, what does that look like for you? And what does that look like for us? And, you know, she said, all I can tell you is, and you're going to have to trust me, that I love what I'm doing. I'm not leaving for good. I'm coming back. And so that's how we worked it, and it worked out. But even for me as a woman, you know, I had that moment of, what does that look like?
Yeah, fair enough. Well, it's fair. It's fair. I mean, it's real world. It's reality. You know, it's not, you know, maybe HR would have a different opinion about it, but it's a real...
we don't ask them.
Exactly. But that's a reality of understanding what you need to accommodate. And that really plays into another question I had for you, and that is, should women expect, and again, we could say the same thing for men, but should women expect a different set of rules for, you know, for getting ahead, for succeeding in the workplace, especially in the executive or leadership positions?
You know, it's funny. When I started writing this book, my market for was women, for sure. So I'm writing this book for women. And I finished the book, and I give the galley to a few male friends of mine. And I come to realize in looking at the rules that there are a lot of rules of the 10 that are really for both men and women. There are 4 rules, I would say, of the 10 that are very specific to women because they revolve around likability and respect and certain behaviors in the workplace. You know, with all due respect to Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In, which is a great book, it's great for women to lean in, but you have to do it with some finesse so that you don't hurt your likability. And those are the areas that men don't have to grapple with, and those chapters are very specific to those issues.
Yeah, that's actually an excellent question. I'm going to turn that. Why don't men have to grapple with that?
Well, we get back to the cultural and societal issues. You know, Are we women supposed to be in supporting roles or leadership roles? And, you know, and support is sort of code word for nurturing.
Mm.
You know, it's our God-given responsibility to birth babies, but many women don't want to do that. You know, are we acting too feminine or too masculine? If we're too feminine at work, then others will see us as not having backbone enough to rise into leadership. But if we're too masculine, you get all the B words.
Right.
Of which bossy is, you know, the nicest. And so, you know, even, you know, I remember when I was, you know, at HGTV, after a couple of years, we were, I was with a neighbor in my neighborhood, and she was a woman who was in management, and I was talking about some of the things that, you know, I was doing, and she kind of sat back and she said, you know, Susan, you're really ambitious. And I, you know, I kind of wanted to slap her.
Yeah.
No, seriously, though, I looked at her and I, like, well, do you mean I'm selfish? But then I realized I am ambitious, and it's okay. But see, these are the kinds of, we're reared to think that that's okay for men, but it's not okay for women. And that's just not true.
No, it's not. Well, very interesting indeed. Susan Packard, ladies and gentlemen, co-founder of Scripps Network Interactive and former operating officer of HGTV. The book launched. Here it is, New Rules of the Game, 10 Strategies for Women in the Workplace. SusanPackard.com, P-A-C-K-A-R-D. Quick break. We'll come back with Susan.
What if in the time it takes to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? If you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? There is no cost or obligation to meet with David. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com for more information. When it comes to finding an advisor you can trust, are you unsure of the questions to ask? David Holland has written a book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy today. Or if you'd like to meet one-on-one with David to discuss your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book when you meet. There's no cost or obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back. Susan Packard on the line with us. The new book, New Rules of the Game, 10 Strategies for Women in the Workplace. SusanPackard.com from the co-founder of Scripps Network Interactive and former operating officer of HGTV. And Susan, I got to ask, I know that, of course, the folks that pick up your book are going to get the benefit of your insight and experience and all these things that you can share. But you've also, you know, you've, I'm sure, been a student of the game, no pun intended. If you've looked at other executives, women in leadership, are there some that you could give us as examples that are following this gamesmanship strategy, some of these things that are good for women to embrace, that you have examples maybe out there in the real world that we can look at?
Yeah, there are a lot of women. Some of the women that I interviewed for the book, I interviewed them because I thought
cool.
They were great gamers.
Okay.
One woman, Amy Miles, runs Regal Entertainment, and she's a young CEO of a publicly traded company, and she's an amazing gamer. You know, when I interviewed her, she said, because we talked about Title IX, and she said that she's never been in a world before Title IX.
Right,
so
right.
Her world has been that women have always been able to play team sports
sure.
and compete. And so as a result, this comes very naturally to her.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, so I think she's one great example. Susan Cameron, who runs Reynolds American, is another great example. She's very supportive of women in the workplace. She plays the game well. She's passionate about advancing and supporting women, as I said. So there are a number in, you know, any woman who gets to run a Fortune 500 company or an S&P 500 company, they're pretty amazing women. You know, they have found ways to work through kind of all of the issues that you normally work through to get to that position, including, you know, their feelings about themselves and
right,
and just making peace with the fact that everything you do, every thought you have is really it's a compromise. It's a choice between one thing or another, And then you make the choice and you find peace with that.
Interesting. It's interesting that it's a game to me, Susan. That's really, and I guess that maybe that's a little naivete on my part that, you know, I haven't been in one of those Fortune 500 companies to experience that firsthand, you know, to survive and thrive and rise to the top in those environments. Man or woman takes a remarkable person.
Well, you know, and I don't mean games in a pejorative way. How this came to me was from the love of playing games and team sports as kids growing up. You know, I loved playing games, whether it was tag or kickball or board games. And I would see kids on the playground or on the street, and they were playing a game I didn't recognize, and I'd go up to them and say, what's this called and what are the rules? And once I knew the rules, I could win.
Hmm.
And it's not just no different in the workplace.
You know, so this is a bit about knowing the rules.
Women is that, a lot of us don't know the rules.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, yeah, because if you don't know the rules, you can't play the game, and you're not going to nearly be as effective. That makes sense. So the next logical question is, should all women be quote unquote gamers? Should, you know, they embrace this, know the rules, know how the game is played to be successful no matter what their industry is?
Well, again, that's a very personal decision.
Mm.
So one woman may say, I am delighted to be a middle manager.
Right.
Another may say, I love that I'm on the ground floor of this company. And a third may say, I want a C-suite job. So, you know, it sort of starts with what is a woman's expectations of herself, and how far does she want to go? And, you know, once she answers that, then you have to look at your environment. And I really can't think of maybe nonprofit, but I can't really think of many environments where, the competitive spirit is not being expressed. And so if you're in an environment where there are other gamers, then for you to be successful, you need to play with these rules as well.
And is that something that some people, some women and men, but specifically on women, is this something that they are, you know, born with? Is this something that they can learn? I mean, is this something that they can learn how to you know, again, play the game and know how to be a gamer? Is that something that makes it easier if somebody starts out? Is it from your upbringing?
Yeah. Well, it's probably a little, you know, so for example, I was, of the four kids in my family, I was arguably the most competitive. You know, I had the most competitive spirit, but, you know, I was also, and this is God's sorry joke on me, I was also the least athletic.
Mm.
So I had to learn how to express it in different ways. And so some people are born with a very strong competitive spirit. Others that are not can read my book. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, pump my book, but the book shows you how you can learn to play by these rules. And, you know, they're all in one kind of nice, tidy place.
Good.
Yeah, there are a ton of them. And, you know, women love to learn. I mean, we're lifelong learners. So I have each rule, and then at the end of each chapter, I have the tips of how you use the rule, you know, in your life. So, yeah, you absolutely, people can learn how to play the game of business.
Well, and I ask because I think there are certainly going to be people that hear us having this conversation, Susan. They go, well, that's not me. I'm not really. That's not my style. I'm not, you know, that's just not me. I'm not that kind of. I like the results, but I don't have that makeup. And you confirm the point, which I suspected is that you can learn it. And that's, of course, what your book is about, and I'm glad you can make that available to other women so they can leverage that.
Well, thank you. And again, back to my first point, which is not every woman, you know, is looking to advance.
Well,
that's,
you know,
a very personal decision.
Absolutely. And the thing that, again, it's funny how our culture is evolving so much and so quickly. Every time we say that, I think, well, that's true for men. There are lots of men that they want to be in a certain place. They don't want that corner office. They don't want what we call the C-suite jobs. You know, it's just not their makeup. And if we all, boy, can you imagine what the world would be like if everybody wanted that?
Yeah, that it would be pretty ugly.
Yeah. Talk about dog eat dog, cats, and everything else. Wow.
Yeah. But this is another reason, you know, if you don't mind my plugging women in senior roles.
Absolutely.
This is another reason why I wrote the book is, I realized I could do it, and so I know other women can do it too, but they have to get to these positions of influence, because at S&I, we created a very collaborative, compassionate work culture. And I was sitting around the table when we created our core values, And, you know, fortunately, I was with a bunch of men who had come from political environments and really wanted the same thing I wanted. But, you know, you have to get at that table to be able to create work cultures that are matriarchal.
True.
And my hope is that the book will, you know, provide a toolkit for that.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I hope so, too. Susan Packard, ladies and gentlemen, co-founder of Scripps Network Interactive and former operating officer of HGTV. The book is New Rules of the Game, 10 Strategies for Women in the Workplace, SusanPackard.com. We'll grab a quick break and we'll come back and talk more with Susan. Stay right there.
Do you know how to get the most from Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could get an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Don't leave your money on the table. Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment. David can do a free analysis for you and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security and filing techniques to maximize your benefits. There is no cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Susan Packard on the line with me. New Rules of the Game, 10 Strategies for Women in the Workplace, SusanPackard.com. I got to ask before we continue, Susan, about the book cover. First thing, it just struck me. I love you've got this purple chess piece, which, of course, is the queen on the chessboard. And then the shadow is, I can tell that's the king. And I just think that's so cool. So why did you, or one of the wonderful people that probably helped you design this, why that image?
Yeah, I love that image. The queen is the most powerful woman on the board in the chess game because she can move in every direction. And she's the only piece on the board that can do that. And so I thought about that as a great metaphor for women's talent. And, you know, we're very agile. We take on a lot. We know how to juggle a lot of different things. And so I thought that that would be a great image for the book. And as far as being in the shadow of the king piece, you know, for everyone has a different, it's fascinating when you ask people, what do you take from that? For me, it was women emerging, you know, out of the shadow of male leaders to be their own leader. But, you know, what did you take from it?
Well, that's funny you say it that way, because I actually, you know, the primary focus when I looked at it was on the female chess piece, and I then said, okay, I see the shadow, and it was almost like actually the power that is there's symbolic, the shadow is symbolic of power of men in the workplace. I picked up on that, but not overshadowing. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I looked at differently. And, you know, the other thing that's really interesting about your choice and also about the female or the queen as a female chess piece, it's the only one, I haven't studied chess in depth, but it's the only one that is presented as a female gender on the chessboard, because any chessboard, all the rest of the pieces are men.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You don't ever see a female pawn.
Yes, you're absolutely
right. So anyway,
right.
But I thought that was really cool, and of course, I confess, purple's my favorite color, so I like that too. But
regal.
Yes, very regal, exactly. I love that. So that's a very interesting way of doing it. Well, now, so let me jump back. We talked a little bit about all of these strategies and the way women can take advantage of these strategies, and again, with the games and the gamemanship, but the thing that occurred to me is, what about women who are entering into... And again, some of this is going to, we need to kind of frame it, but women entering into what are considered traditionally male-dominated fields. And I don't know if there's still a lot or if most are still. So help us kind of understand a little bit of that perspective, Susan, and then what you would say to women who are trying to, maybe that's the area they want to be in.
Right. And there are a lot of, in fact, it's really, I'm hard-pressed to think of industries that aren't male-dominated. But if you want to say the extremes in, let's say it's auto, but now we have a female CEO with Mary Beara,
right.
Banking, technology, those are worse than the rest, but the rest are not any great shakes either, under 20% of women in senior roles. So for all women, I would say there's a chapter I have on practice. And, you know, it takes patience and it takes a while to get yourself into positions of authority and just not to look for that exit door. And practice itself, I cite the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours rule. It takes 10,000 hours to be an expert at something.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And if you start thinking about things that way, you might find more patience to deal with a male-heavy, you know, at the top kind of environment. But it you if you're impatient, it's going to be difficult for you.
It will be, and it takes it takes a lot of patience to put up with the men.
Well, I mean, I also learned everything I know about gamesmanship from men. So you know, really, just depends on your perspective.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it. Well, and I love your point about the 10,000 hours and Gladwell, what he said about that, and that's so true. And I think that, you know, I just whipped out my calculator and I'm working on 40 some thousand hours and I'm still learning. So, you know, it's
well, I hope we always keep learning, but good for you.
Yeah. We got just a minute left here, Susan. And I want to, if there's a couple of final thoughts you have for the men and women, but especially the women that are listening to this program about embracing this and leveraging what you've done here.
Well, my hope is that this book will provide a toolkit to help women advance and also give them the hope and the confidence that there are ways to go as high as you choose in your organization. And I know that's true because these rules worked for me. So my hope is that they can pull out of this book the kinds of things they're looking for that will help them and bolster their, you know, whether they're, again, wanting just one step up or if they want, you know, all the way up to the C-suite. That would be if I do that for just a few women, I'll feel like I've succeeded.
Outstanding. Susan Packard, ladies and gentlemen, co-founder of HGTV, the book, New Rules of the Game, 10 Strategies for Women in the Workplace, SusanPackard.com. Susan, thank you very much for spending some time with us and sharing, and we wish you the most and best with this endeavor, and we applaud your efforts.
Well, David, thank you for inviting me on the show. It's been a delight to talk to you.
You're very welcome.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.